Welcome to MTG Pro Tutor, your gathering of insights, tips, and advice from renowned players and community icons. Connect with venerated teachers to gain the knowledge you need to improve your skills. Now, here's your planar guide and personal tutor, Sean Penrod.
Welcome to episode 195. Can you believe it? 200 is right around the corner. So excited. I'm Sean Penrod, your host, and I cannot wait to bring you this great episode, which is sponsored by the patrons and the Deck Building Masterclass. The patrons are what make the show keep going. Thank you so much. I love each and every one of you. I'm so grateful for your support. Basically, over at mtgprotutor.com/Patreon, you can choose to support the creators that you like. In this show's case, you can choose to pledge any amount you want per episode and then set a monthly limit so that you never go out of budget. And then each and every month, your contribution gets pooled together with the other patrons. And it's with that I'm able to keep the show going. I really love doing this show, and I don't plan on stopping anytime soon. And it's because of the patrons that I'm able to keep this going. So thank you, thank you, thank you. So over at mtgprotutor.com/Patreon is where you can go to check that out. And then, of course, as a thank you, each and every month, I always do a patron-exclusive giveaway. I love giving away sweet magic-related products to the patrons, and I always look forward to doing that each and every month. The other sponsor is deckbuildingmasterclass.com. Go check that out. It is a free PDF download where three of the best deck builders in Magic share their secrets, their tournament-winning deck-building secrets. It's an amazing resource. It walks you through the EDH test, how to evaluate, determine, hypothesize, and then test your hypothesis. It's a really great way to learn how to dig into the metagame, recognize trends, and make adjustments and tweaks to your deck to really level up your game. And these skills are evergreen. So now is a perfect time to get that PDF because we have this new standard season right now, a new set that just got introduced. There's gonna be a lot of new decks, a lot of brewing. You want to know how to go about evaluating the metagame and really making your deck shine. So deckbuildingmasterclass.com is where you go for that. If you haven't yet, get the free PDF download and check it out. So in the world of Magic, last weekend was the pre-release. This weekend is the release of Amonkhet. And then next weekend, we have three Grand Prix across the world, which is really going to be a great time to see Amonkhet Limited shine. And then following that, we have the Pro Tour. It's going to be amazing. So stay tuned to all the fun Magic happening. Stay tuned to the show. We have a great guest lined up for you today. And with that, let's bring him in, sit down, and talk about Magic. What is up, everybody? I am super excited to have our guest with us today. Our guest is 28 years old and was born in Miami, Florida. He started out by playing poker and sneaking into casinos throughout high school to make some extra cash. He's a well-known spear fisherman through his videos on YouTube and Instagram, and he started playing Magic after Dragons of Kartir. He fell in love with Limited. He's been to two Grand Prix, one in Atlanta, where he won the last four rounds in a row to make day two, and Orlando, where he made top eight. Coming to us from Miami, Florida, prodigies near and far, let's welcome the one, the only, George Mantilla. George, how you doing today?
Great, man. Nice to be here.
We are so excited to have you. Are you ready to delve into your mind and share with the audience tips and tricks to take their game to the next level?
Yes, sir.
Excellent. Now, prodigies out there, you want to connect with George? The best place to do that will be in the Facebook group. So we have the Pro Tutor Prodigy Facebook group all set up. He will be in there. So you request to join, we'll get you in there. And if you want to follow up with another question or say thanks for being on the show, that's the best way to reach out to him on social. He'll be in the Facebook group. So George, we love learning a little bit about our guests outside of Magic before we do the whole Magic thing. And it's actually pretty cool. In the intro, you mentioned spear fishermen. Are you still doing that? Is that kind of what you have going on?
Yeah, I work at a dive shop, and whenever I can get out there, we take trips to the Bahamas and have a great time.
That's excellent. So you like take people, so you kind of guide tours or whatever?
Sometimes, but mainly just go with friends. And
okay. That's excellent. That's excellent. Do some videos. So you're getting out there on the socials, doing YouTube and Instagram. And that is really, really neat. I mean, we've never had a spear fisherman on the show before. So you're definitely making Magic history right here. So that's awesome. So let's see, growing up, are you the only one in your family who plays Magic? Do you have brothers and sisters? Like, tell us a little bit about your fam.
Yeah, I have a brother and a sister, but none of them play Magic or even knew what it was.
Excellent, excellent. So, and then we mentioned that you're born in Miami and you're still there in Miami. So you just kind of been there your whole life, or you done any moving around?
Yeah, I've been here my whole life.
Excellent, excellent. So we love to hear the origin story of our guests. So take us back to the day. Tell us the story of the first time you ever saw or played with Magic cards. What was that like?
All right. So my friends were in a band and they invited me to come over, and I'm a fan of music. And I heard a couple songs, so I went over to their house, and they were jamming out. And in between breaks, and at the end of the day, end of the night, they would start playing this card game. And since I played poker, I was interested. And so I'm watching them play, and it just looks fun, and they're having a good time and laughing, and it looks hard too, and And there's math and numbers, and I'm like, whoa, this could be pretty fun. And so I got a chance to sit down and play someone's deck, and they taught me slowly, and I really liked it. And then the next time I went to a practice, they had a little surprise draft, and I just kind of winged it, and I was the eighth person there. And it was game over from there. I mean, it was amazing. It was so much fun.
That's really cool. I love that. I absolutely love that. And I think everyone's first draft is just kind of, winging it. You're like, what is going on? It's kind of intimidating, but that is really cool. I love that. So your friends invited you to come over, to their band session, and then you just played. And I like how you notice how it looks like a lot of fun and also, challenging. There's, numbers and math and stuff going on, but they were still laughing and having a good time. So it kind of looks like, grabbed you kind of on both ends, fun social thing, but then also, a challenge for your analytical brain because you're coming from the poker side.
Yep.
That's awesome. So so Dragons of Tarkir, that's where you came in right after that. So was that your first set, or what was your really first set?
That was my first set. That night where I first saw the Magic cards was probably like a week before that set came out. And then we had a draft a little before, and I forgot what happened, but I missed the pre-release that they went to. And I went to the next week, which was like game day or like the release of the set. Mm-hmm. And we went and did a draft, and then that was history, and I just kept going.
Yeah, love it. So what's been your favorite set?
My favorite set, wow. Probably Kaladesh or Eldritch Moon Shadows. I enjoyed a lot.
And along the same lines, what's one of your favorite cards?
One of my favorite cards. It's tough to pick one because...
Right. So one of, whatever stands out to you right now.
Probably Walking Ballista is my favorite.
Excellent. So for those of us who don't know, what is that card? What does it do? And why do you like it?
Walking Ballista is an artifact that you can pay X mana and put X counters on it. So the minimum is pay 2 mana, put 1 counter. And you can remove a counter and ping a creature for 1 damage. So it starts stacking up and you just get free eating of creatures.
Yeah. And then you can also, pay 4 to put another counter on it?
Yeah, you can also build it up after you play it out, yeah.
Good stuff. That is good stuff right there. So this is great. I mean, you coming into the game... Tarkir was just a couple years ago, right? Like maybe 2 or so, and already doing so well, the Grand Prix and whatnot. So we would love to learn, from you and your journey and your growth. So when you started, getting into Magic, what was an aspect that you really struggled with, but that you eventually overcame?
Aspect that I struggled with would be sideboarding and just deck building in general. And what helped me was every time I would lose, I would ask my opponent if I could look at their deck. And I would get a good idea of, why he put the cards in there. And I would start to see the big picture and relate that towards my future drafts and builds. Yeah.
Excellent. So this is specifically for Limited?
For Limited, yeah.
Yeah. So that's a good point. So you look at their deck. Okay. What did they draft? Why did they draft it? Why were they able to beat me with these cards? And you kind of went through that process and talked about it and kind of deconstructed it from that angle?
Yeah, exactly.
That's awesome. Man, that's really good. And that's a great way to go about it. Tapping into other people's knowledge and just asking and learning and just being a real student of the game is a great way to go about it. And especially in Limited, I think you can go through that process much better, especially earlier on, because there's just fewer cards that you have to keep track of. And right there within that particular Limited environment, you're able to kind of see what lines up against what and why certain cards or archetypes are good. So, man, that's awesome. That's really neat. So, sideboarding and deck building Limited, and you are obviously everyone's still working on that, but you're obviously doing pretty well with that because you're moving on up and doing good things. So, when you do you have any Magic mentors? When you were getting better, did you turn to anybody? Did you have anybody who spoke sage words of wisdom to you that just kind of stuck out? Like, who kind of mentored you along the way?
Yeah, I had some friends at the store. Really, only went to one store for a long time, and. You just know that they're really good and the best players there. They're always winning and they're always beating you. And then you just keep asking them questions. And, usually Magic people are really nice and they helped me out and I soaked it up and, eventually I got incrementally better and, started winning here and there. And,
yeah.
Yeah.
Love it. So everyone's journey through Magic has ups and downs, highs and lows, but those highs and lows are unique to each player. So for you, what has been your worst Magic moment? And then more importantly, what did you learn from that experience?
My worst Magic moment would be losing my win and in to my first PPTQ. Mm-hmm. I won the first game. It was a tough match. And then the second game, I get a hand that's like, I have my mana and I have like all removal cards and no creatures. So I end up losing that game because he just keeps playing creatures and I play removal, and I just had no tempo to get in damage, and eventually he just overwhelmed me, and I learned a really valuable lesson there. And we ended up drawing that match, and someone else got into the top eight.
So. Oh no, seriously?
Because yeah, neither of us would concede to each other, too prideful.
Oh my gosh. Oh my goodness. So what was your biggest takeaway, and then what can we learn from that?
Biggest takeaway was you got to have early pressure. I've noticed that you just always have to have early pressure. 2-drop, 3-drop, 4-drop really helps. Goes a long way to winning the game. And how to mulligan, when you should mulligan, that really opened my eyes.
So on that note, because that pops up from, you know, several prodigies that I talked to and the whole mulligan thing, how do you get better at that? You know, how do you know what's a good hand? Oh, what format was the PPTQ?
Format was PPTQ. I think it was Oath of the Gatewatch. I had like white black allies.
So it was limited?
Yeah, it was limited.
Okay.
I mainly play limited.
Okay, got it. So so then in the limited perspective, how do you determine what's a good hand and whether you should mulligan or not, you know?
Well, you definitely want to try to have both your colors, 2 to 3 mana in your opening hand, and a curve. So you got to look to, you know, you're going to play your first land, second land, you hopefully you have a 2-drop, a 3-drop, a way to interact with your opponent, and pray you have your bomb in your hand also.
That's always nice.
Yeah, that's always great.
Awesome. Very awesome. Now, the flip side are highs and proud Magic moments. So, George, what has been your proudest Magic moment to date?
Well, my proudest Magic moment was a recent top 8 win at top 8 at GP Orlando.
Woot, woot. Good job.
It was amazing.
So, how did you get there? What did you do? What was your preparation like? We love kind of seeing what did our guests do to get to that point. So, how far in advance did you start practicing, and just kind of walk us through that process?
Well, I usually draft about once a week, and I started playing online like at least one match every night for the past year almost, or 8 months, and that's really helped me a lot. And I started doing a lot of sealeds. I like sealeds and I like building. So always having a sealed open on Magic Online and playing a match here and there. And then, you know, get tired of that, I'll do a draft and go back and forth.
Excellent. So drafting pretty much every day has been, you know, what you're doing some kind of limited event every day is what you've been doing. And that's really kind of what set you up and kept your skills sharp, and you feel really contributed to your success in Orlando.
Yeah, big time.
Awesome. Absolutely awesome. So what are you looking for, like, when you're doing, you know, limited event? And this is great because we're actually, you know, we are recording this just before Amonkhet comes out. This episode will be released right after the pre-release, pretty much. So we're right here in a new limited environment, pretty much, when people are listening to this. What should people be doing? What are you going to be doing? What are you looking for? How do you get a feel for a limited, you know, environment? Let's dive into that, since that's your forte.
Like for a new set?
Yeah, yeah. So when this new set comes out, what are you going to be doing to really kind of get your feet under you?
Well, first I'm going to draft it as much as possible, or go to as much events as I can, mm-hmm. the sealed events, to really understand the cards. And that helps a lot, because the more you play, the more you see your opponents. And like, you know, they might do something that you didn't see, and put two cards together that you're like, oh, okay, that works. And yeah, and that's going to beat me right now. And just seeing what other people do, and you know, just getting a feel for the cards and playing and learning what the interactions and combos are.
That's there's no real substitute for, you know, actually being able to play. And even the more you can play, the better. But even just playing a little bit can kind of give you really good insights. I know for me, for example, with Modern Masters 3, the most recent one, right? I didn't play that much limited, but when I did, it only took me a couple games to realize there were a lot of 2/2s in that set. So anything that had like 3 toughness or 3 power, you know, was already, you know, above average, because there was just so many 2/2s running around. And that was after just a few, you know, just playing a few like really casual games. And so you start noticing things like that. Oh, hey, like the average power and toughness is this. And so that means, you know, bigger stat, you know, you know what stats are more desirable and things like that. And so it doesn't really take long to kind of get a feel for, you know, the set as a whole. But then obviously the more you play, the more granular your data can get, and you can really get a feel for which archetypes are good and what interactions are the best and things like that. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. Awesome. And also the build arounds, you know, you see
oh yeah.
You see the build arounds like Drakehaven or like Asmortold, and that really gets me excited to like pack one, pick one of those and go all in. And I really look forward to things, to opening cards like that.
Excellent. So you'll be, for a new limited environment, you know, you attend as many events as you can, like pre-releases and whatever, and then start drafting as soon as you can to kind of get a feel for it. Cause there's usually a sealed Grand Prix a couple weeks, right? After it comes out, and then the Pro Tour is, you know, a week after that. And so it's really exciting and fun to be involved in a new set because, you know, there's lots of events that you can go to and really kind of, you know, test stuff out.
Yep.
Awesome. Awesome. So as you've been playing Magic and you've sat across a table from hundreds of different people and just kind of seen lots of different lines of play and learned from different people, what's the biggest mistake that you've seen players make? And then how can we avoid that mistake?
That's a tough one. Biggest mistake? I'm not sure. I haven't. I'm not sure.
So for you, what mistakes have you noticed that you make, and what are you doing to overcome those?
I make little mistakes all the time. Even at the GP, I went to tap. I made something half the block, and I didn't notice he forgot he had a vehicle. So I went to swing, and he crewed in response, and I was like, oh. That was a waste of three energy.
Whoops.
And I, you know, but I don't let things like that happen again. You know, I learned from the mistakes and just play through it.
Got it. So kind of keeping track of the board state, you know, what's where and what each card does and what they're capable of doing. And
yeah, exactly.
Do you have any tips for that? Any heuristics, anything that you do to kind of keep track of things, or is it just, you know, every turn do a check, or like, what do you do to kind of keep track of the board state?
Just my first main phase, I'm going to plan out my attack. And so, before I actually attack, I'm going to see what he's going to, you know, how he's going to block and what he might cast or interrupt. And, just try and find the best line of play. And, yeah, there's, you know, it's important to see the little line of text above the toughness, and just, you know, just keep it in the back of your mind. And the more you play, the more it sticks, that, you know, when you see the card, it, you know, the ability, and it pops up in your head again. So you just gotta keep, you know, stay focused.
Yeah. And don't be afraid, you know, to read any card that you're unfamiliar with. Like it's especially cards that have a lot of text. It's easy to miss that it has, you know, prowess or menace or just some like one line, you know, ability that you read the big old block and you missed that one line or something like that. So don't be afraid to pick up cards and just read them again. I know that I've made some dumb mistakes because I forgot about, you know, one line of text or something like that. And so, yeah, so don't be afraid to pick it up and just kind of keep yourself appraised of what's going on the board. So for sure. So what have you learned from Magic that you've been able to apply to other areas of your life?
Confidence. Also, just being nice to people, and it really pays off in the future. You know, like they smile and they come back to you for advice, or just the way they look at you, you know, because you're just always nice to them and helping them. And then it comes back, you know, it's karma. It just feels good.
Yeah. Can you share time that you've been confident outside of Magic, you know, that really paid off?
Probably in spearfishing, being confident. There's sometimes you encounter sharks. Sometimes the best thing to do is stand your ground and throw your spear gun in front of it and poke it away, you know, instead of swimming backwards and frantically screaming towards the boat. And
Wow. So stand your ground, be confident. That's incredible. Wow. And that's, like I said, we haven't had a spear fisherman on here. So this is the first shark story we have on the show. So that's awesome. That's really awesome. And so what about being nice? So I totally agree. So, you know, in game, you know, you obviously want to be cordial with your opponents, and it comes back, like you said, in many different ways. Like it could be that, you know, somebody that you were nice to in an early round or in some event, right, at a different event down the road, has the chance to, you know, maybe concede to you to put you in because they don't have a chance or something like that, right? So obviously, you know, that comes around and whatnot. Has there been, again, an example outside of Magic where, you know, being nice to people has helped you out and you're kind of like, oh, hey, I'm glad I learned that from Magic.
Not that I can recall, but I know it's happened here and there, you know.
I love it. I love how there's just so much, you know, to learn and to gain from Magic that we can put, you know, into our real life. And it comes down to, like you said, like, you know, things of confidence, being nice. People have shared, you know, travel experience, just being able to, you know, learning how to book things and travel and keeping yourself organized and just dealing with life, you know, like in Magic games, not everything goes according to plan and life throws you curveballs sometimes. Just being able to analyze the situation and figure out the best, you know, the best play, like you said, and you know, that is, equates to life. And I love it. I absolutely love all the things that we can learn from magic. So on the topic of learning, what have you learned about yourself? What insights have you gained about yourself from playing magic?
Oof, that I have the ability to win. And before, I wasn't always as confident. And I would doubt myself. And it's built me up and given me confidence and got me better at math and just better with people and not being as shy and opening up.
Nice. Now, this is your first Grand Prix Top 8, so you're going to be going off to your first Pro Tour. Which Pro Tour are you going to?
Going to Japan, Kyoto Pro Tour, nice. Hour of Devastation.
That's awesome. When's that?
That is in July.
July.
I'm super excited, yeah.
Yeah, have you ever been to Japan?
No. It's like another dream. A dream to go to Japan.
Love it. Yeah. Absolutely love it. So we love, and this is actually really cool. The last episode, we just talked to somebody else who just made their first top eight also. How are you going to prepare for the Pro Tour? We love learning. What's it like? You know, so you're faced with your first Pro Tour coming up. You know, obviously being your first time, I'm assuming you're not plugged into like one of the big super teams or whatever. So what are you going to be doing? Like, how are you going to prepare so you can give yourself the best chance at your first Pro Tour?
Well, I've made a lot of friends in South Miami, and there is a scene here, and there's a bunch of different groups, and I've met a lot of people, and they've all shown me support and, you know, told me that anything I need, they'll help with. So some of the stores, you know, they have some. Couple people are going, so I hope to talk to them and hopefully meet there and practice as much as possible, as well as start playing standard very soon.
Yeah, that's true.
Keep grinding limited, yeah.
And that's a good point, you know, especially so pretty much once Amonkhet is out, you want to get into standard and get familiar with this, and then when the changes of Hour of Devastation come, you're at least, you know, you're at least up on the Amonkhet stuff.
Yeah.
Got it. Is that kind of your Achilles heel right now as a standard?
Yeah, I've played some when I first started. Mm-hmm. I played a little bit during before Kaladesh, but I haven't played as much as, nowhere near as much as limited.
Well, you know what? Like, lean on your strengths, right? So like you said, there's a couple other people who are going, so you definitely want to group up with people, and you could be the limited guy, right? And so there might be people, you definitely want to group with somebody who has a really strong, constructed, really strong standard background, and they'll, you know, they'll do the brunt of the testing and the tuning and the tweaking, all that stuff, and you can really bring your expertise as a limited player and help them understand the limited environment, and that's how, you know, that's how teams are formed, right? And so, you know, obviously you'll have your input, you don't just want to like take whatever they say for standard and that's it, but yeah, you let them do the brunt of the work, and you play the standard deck that they develop, and then you can really focus on the limited aspect and help them understand that and get up to speed. So you give some, they give some, and you're off to the races.
That's the plan.
Awesome. Super awesome. Absolutely love it. So let's see. We talked about how your best format is limited, and we're right here at the end of, you know, a limited format, beginning of a new one. So what would you say is an underplayed card in limited right now? So this is pre-Amonkhet.
Pre-Amonkhet. So Illusionist Stratagem to me has always been a super blowout whenever I play it, and was one of the cards in my first draft that really helped me win like two games.
Yeah.
I don't see that in a lot of decks, and it's a huge blowout and can be a lot of value.
Nice. That's fun. It's always fun to kind of see, you know, what people think are, you know, going, flying under the radar or whatever. So when you travel, when you go to an event, what do you take with you? Like, what's actually in your tournament bag?
Yeah, I bring a bag. I have my draft box that has lands and tokens and sleeves and some extra sleeves in there, as well as just throw some dice and life counters. And I didn't always write on paper, but the last year I've really, really trying to been write on paper and do the paper thing, because you have to keep track that way for judges. And that's pretty much it. And since I've been hearing your podcast also, I'm going to start bringing snacks, lots of snacks.
There you go. That's awesome. I'm actually working on, I'm putting together like the ultimate guide to attending a Magic the Gathering Grand Prix. And I was going to go through just a lot of things that people who have gone to Grand Prix have said that, you know, that they forgot or they wish they knew or things like that. And snacks is definitely one of the big things that we highlight, is, you know, not forgetting to take water, take, you know, some kind of protein bar, some nuts and some fruits and whatnot, just to make sure that you're fueling your body and your mind, you know, fueling your body throughout the day to keep your mind focused and on track. So awesome. Glad to be of some service. So when you're staying up on what's going on in Magic, where do you go? What resources do you turn to? What can you recommend to us?
Well, I at work, I always watch Twitch. So I'll be listening and watching some the top level Twitch players, like popular players, as well as I like Channel Fireball a lot. That's one of the YouTube, one of the things I watched a lot that helped me.
Yeah.
And just friends and I'm in a couple of chat groups that, you know, I can ask questions also.
So what advice would you give to a new Magic player, specifically in Limited? Let's say, what is one thing a brand new Limited player, you know, should focus on?
Well, they should focus on watching, you know, someone who's really good draft, and maybe not just one draft, like draft the same format several times in a row, so you can see, you know, the different routes, and you see the same card and maybe why he didn't take that card that time, and also, you know, how he's going to build and why he chose to leave out, you know, a card that you thought was great, but it just didn't fit this time. And I'm really big on, you know, if you're playing live in real life, to you know, when you do lose, or even if you win, to just look at your opponent's deck and see why, you know, see how his brain works, see why he put the cards in there and his plan.
Excellent. And obviously Twitch, a resource you just mentioned, is one of the good places to go to kind of, you know, watch those good drafters and get insights into what they're doing. Is that right?
Yeah. I love watching Noob Kenji.
Yeah.
It's my favorite. Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome. Absolutely awesome. Yeah. He, let's take a look here. He's actually a past guest of the show. I loved having him on. He was, for those of you who are oldies but goodies, episode 41. So back in the day, Kenji was episode 4. Yeah, way early. He was awesome. So maybe we'll have him on again. He's a good guy. Awesome. So for new limited players, you know, kind of watch good drafters, figure out what they're picking, why they're picking it, what they're not picking and why. And then when you dive into it yourself, again, win or lose, talk to your opponents, look at their decks. Make sure you understand what's going in and why. Absolutely love it. So do you have any non-magic activities that help you with magic? Anything you do on a regular basis, like that you really feel contributes to your success?
Non-magic activities. Well, I guess poker. Poker definitely, because it helps me in tournaments where, you know, you're going to be sitting there for a long time, and you could be sitting there playing poker for all day, you're on a roll, and it really helps you to like the fatigue, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't really get as fatigued as maybe some other people do, because I've been playing poker some days for, you know, 12 hours straight, so I'm used to things like that.
That's a good point. That's actually one of the feedback that I got from someone who attended the first Grand Prix, was just not being prepared for that mental fatigue for playing Magic, you know, 8, 9, 10 hours on day one of a Grand Prix, because they just hadn't done anything like that. So that's neat that there are other activities that you can do that kind of get you used to staying engaged in an activity for that long. So it's neat that poker's been able to come and help you with that. So looking down the road, let's say 3 years, what would you like to look back on and say that you've accomplished in Magic?
Well, the dream would be the top 8, the Pro Tour.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah. And you're on your road there. So top 8 in Pro Tour, that'd be sweet. What, any other goals or?
Top 8 in a Pro Tour, getting a second world record in spear fishing would be great.
Oh, there you go. All right. What's the world record you have now?
It's a pole spear on a type of grouper using a pole spear.
Okay. Excellent.
Yeah,
so I love it. I love it. You're on a mission to, you know, break records wherever you are, whether it's in spearfishing or Magic. That'd be awesome. That'd be absolutely awesome. So let's see, what events do you have lined up coming in here in the future? Where are we going to be able to find you as far as Magic is concerned?
No events yet. I really want to go to GP Vegas. One of my friends is going, and I mean, I'm really interested in doing that like flashback draft.
Yeah.
Oh my, that sounds just insanely awesome. And no, other than that, just playing Magic FNMs and maybe local PPTQs and sealeds and stuff like that.
Awesome. That's really cool. And this is great. So you, on the topic of Grand Prix, you've only been to two, and you made day two in the first one and the top 8 in the second one. Is that where you're at so far in your Grand Prix record?
That's where I'm at.
That's pretty good. That is pretty good. Are you going to any of the limited Grand Prix that are coming up right after Almacat?
Maybe. I really want to. There should be some people in my group going.
Mm-hmm.
So if I can get the, you know, I work a lot. So if I can get the days off and everything comes together, yeah, I'm there.
Excellent. Absolutely excellent. And that's neat that you'll be able to, you know, travel with people and you know, yeah, it's always nice to have someone to talk to and obviously, you know, share the travel expenses with and whatnot. So that is absolutely out.
That's the best part. To go alone would just be the worst.
Oh, yeah. It's the kind, I mean, you're there with a bunch of people who also love magic, which is cool. But if you don't like actually have a friend there, then it is kind of lonely. And that's the worst when you're lonely in a group of people. Like, that's just the worst. So don't do that. You know, travel with friends for sure. Travel with friends. So you're going to be going to Japan. That's really cool. That's really cool. And I'm just trying to think of any other, you know, places that you might be able to travel to, but I guess all the Grand Prix coming up are mostly here. And it's at least the limited ones that you'll hit up will be here in the States. How many pro points do you have off of your top eight?
I think I have it saved here. 2 seconds. Cause I didn't have a single buy going into any of my GPs points, bro. I think I have like 1700. So I got my first buy officially because of that top eight.
Nice. So that would be the Planeswalker points. And then do you know how many pro points you got for making top eight?
Oh, four.
Four.
Four pro points and have, four pro points.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, hey, every Hall of Famer starts somewhere, you know?
That would be it.
That's awesome. I'm not sure when the season cycles over, but obviously you have these four and then you'll get three just for showing up to Pro Tour Hour of Devastation. So that's cool. And then, hey, you know, a good finish there can get you points that you need to set you up for, you know, silver or beyond for next season. So that's pretty cool.
The current goal is, if I get four here and three at the Pro Tour, then the current goal would be Rookie of the Year, which would be insane.
That'd be good.
Because that's my first pro point. And someone told me that, you know, as soon as you get your first pro point, you're in the running for Rookie of the Year. So I have to go to more GPs to attempt that. But that would be really special.
Yeah, make it happen, man. That's awesome. That's absolutely awesome. So as we kind of transition here and pull into, you know, the home stretch, a couple of things that I wanted to dive into is, you know, so you're a player, you came in, didn't take you too long to, you know, make it to the top eight of a Grand Prix, which is awesome. What did that mean for you? So when you made top eight and you knew that you had that locked in and you'd be getting a Pro Tour invite, you know, what did that mean for you? Like, how did it make you feel as a player?
Felt super special and humbling just to really put in the work and then get results. And it's also a life lesson, you know, like, cause I don't really try, you know, I never tried that hard at anything, you know, or did, you know, like an accomplishment like that. And, it really inside me showed that, you know, if you put in the time and you really try and you love what you do, that, you know, you can get the trophy, you can go all the way, you can do whatever you want.
Awesome. So has it been hard for you to, I guess, kind of stay humble after you had your success? What's that been like?
Yeah, that's important. To just stay humble and keep helping people, being nice. And, I'm confident, but definitely I know not to be cocky. One match at a time, one game at a time, and, keep trying to win.
So when it comes to one match at a time, that's another thing that I find so important. But for me, obviously, for me and many others, I know it's really hard. How do you only focus one match at a time or one game at a time? Even you don't want to carry, you know, the baggage of a previous loss to the next game. And you also don't want to, you know, expect to win because you won last time. So how do you really clear up your mind and play one game, one match at a time?
So I guess before the, let's say you're I'm at the GP in Orlando, and before I would walk up to a table, you know, there's usually you're talking to your friends, a ways away, and you're walking up and, you're looking at you're looking at your table number, and all that's going through my head is just, you know, all right, play good, don't make mistakes, you know, just win one game at a time, take it slow, and you know, just don't get overwhelmed, and you know, think about, you know, winning the whole thing, you know, or like, oh, I'm like set, you know, you're undefeated or something, and you really want, you know, just don't think of any of that, just you know, clear your mind and just think about the game ahead and the first game and shuffling and, you know, just do everything right to give yourself the best chance to win that one game at a time.
That's so true. Like, I think just being conscious of it, you know, helps. That's the first step. Like, think if you're thinking about, hey, you know, I got to play one game at a time, that's a step in the right direction, because so many people aren't. And then you can do some of these other things that you mentioned, like just, you know, just telling yourself, all right, one game at a time, don't get ahead of myself. And just being in the now, you know, focus on shuffling, focus on your hand, whatnot. I actually heard just the other day, it's surprising how much we don't live, like we as a whole society, don't live in the now. You know, like we're either living in the past, living in the future. They say if you are anxious, if you're overly anxious, you're living too much in the future. And if you're overly depressed, you're living too much in the past. So you just want to be in the now. You want to enjoy, you know, where you are and what you're doing right now, and take that into magic by saying, okay, right now I'm shuffling. You know, I'm not really worried about whether I'm going to draw a bad hand or what my opponent's bomb is or whatever. I'm just shuffling the deck, you know, doing the, you know, shuffling the best I can, shuffling my opponent's deck. And then you're drawing, and then, okay, right now I'm looking at my hand. You know, what is this a good hand? Is this not? And taking care of that. And then every turn as you play it out, you know, what's my out? What's my opponent's out? What's the best line of play? And just really being focused on the now as opposed to, you know, the past, the present, or, you know, what the impact of a win would have.
Exactly.
Man, I love it, man. George, you have some really good insights. I really appreciate you taking us down these paths and opening up these, you know, discussion points. It's been awesome. Like you are, yeah, it's really neat to learn from a player like you.
Thank you.
So again, prodigies out there, if you want to connect with George, the best place to do that will be in the Facebook group. So we're going to get him in there, and you can request to join at mtgpro2.com/Facebook group. That will redirect you to the Facebook group, and we'll let you in, and you can say hello to George, wish him well, ask him a follow-on question. He obviously knows a lot about, you know, Limited. And when this goes live, we'll be entering Omnicat Limited. So, you know, hit him up and see what's going on and run stuff by him, and we can connect in the Facebook group. So that'd be awesome. So George, what is one last parting piece of guidance you have for us? Either something you already said you want to emphasize, or something new you want to leave with us here at the end?
Just to put in the time, you know, if you really want to do well your next event, you know, you can't play, you know, once at FNM and then, you know, and then go to the thing and you know, and hope to XO and then perfectly draft and, you know, go X1 the whole thing. It's just, it's like a daily ritual. You have to play Magic once a day or, you know, keep on it. Keep up. You can't stop.
Well, George, I want to acknowledge you for your contributions to the multiverse. And thank you so much for your time and for sharing your experiences with us. You are a hero among planeswalkers, and it's been a blast chatting with you. May you never be mana screwed. Always draw what you need and depart every plane victorious.
Thank you, Sean.
George, thank you so much. Loved having you on the show. Prodigies, you can get the show notes at mtgpro2.com/George Mantilla. That's George with a J. So check out that page if you want a synopsis of what we talked about, as well as links to any resources that were mentioned. Before we close out, I want to say thank you to the patrons. You mean the world to me, and it's because of you that the show keeps going. So mtgpro2.com/Patreon is where you can go to learn more about that. And our other sponsor, the Deck Building Masterclass. So deckbuildingmasterclass.com is where you can go to get the free PDF download, where I co-hosted with three of the best Magic the Gathering deck builders in the world. And we talked about how to evaluate the metagame, how to tweak your deck, how to recognize trends, and just really dive down into tournament-winning deck-building fundamentals. So they reveal their secrets in the PDF download that you can get at deckbuildingmasterclass.com. Thanks so much for joining me today. I'm so excited for the weekend. Hope that you guys get out there and play some Magic. We have the release of Omnicat, and yeah, pretty much starting tonight, we get to play with Omnicat in Standard. So brew those decks, make cat better, or beat the cat, whichever side of the fence you're on. And I can't wait to meet up with you again next week. And until then, I am Sean of The Gathering, and we will see you in the next cast.
This round of MTG Pro Tutor is over. So you don't miss a single episode of MTG Mastery. Be sure to subscribe to the show on your preferred podcast listening service for more exclusive interviews, deck building tips, and elite content. Or visit mtgprotutor.com to stream it straight from the source. We look forward to helping you think and play like a pro.